Our scripture reading comes this morning from the Gospel according to Matthew in the 23rd chapter, verses 1 through 12, and can be in your pew Bible on page 25. Hear now these words. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it, but do not do as they do. For they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens that are hard to bear and lay them on the shoulders of others. But they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have a place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all students. And call no one your father on earth, for you have only one father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humble, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." The word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Before I begin, I just want to say a word of thanks. As Reverend Archie was saying a few moments ago, I got to intern here for 2 summers. The first summer I got to work with your youth while I was home from seminary, and then the second summer I got to be here. I learned how to be a pastor here at First Clovis that second summer, and so I am truly grateful to this congregation and to the opportunities that I had to learn here, and also the opportunity to speak today. So thank y'all for having me, and just know that this church, I hold a special place in my heart for First United Methodist Church here in Clovis. If you'll join me in prayer. In your word, O God, show us heaven. By your Spirit, show us truth. Through Christ, the living Word, in whom we see your face. Amen. This morning, we gather together on one of my most favorite Christian holidays, the celebration of All Saints' Day, the Sunday that follows Halloween. Now, Halloween, celebrated by Christians, is a proclamation that darkness and evil have no place in this world because of Christ's resurrection. Historically, people would dress up as goblins and dark creatures only to make a mockery of darkness and evil because Christ is victorious over any and every foe. So I love this holiday, but in particularly I love it because of All Saints' Day, the day that we come to celebrate today. For me, this celebration reminds me that I am not alone, that there are others who have walked in the Christian faith before me. You see, oftentimes when we think of saints, we think about the New Orleans-based football team, or we think about our brothers and sisters in the Catholic faith tradition and their understanding of the words. Now, for our brothers and sisters in the Catholic or the Eastern Orthodox traditions, they have an official canonization process to celebrate a canonized sainthood, meaning that the saints that they celebrate have been proven to a certain set of standards. They have requirements of a life lived responding to the grace of God, as well as to prove that they helped bring miracles about. You see, when we think of saints in that light, we think of people as pillars of the faith. We think about St. Paul and how he encountered the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, how he was struck blind, and how his conversion becomes the catalyst for the gospel being spread into the Gentile community. When we think of him, we think about how he wrote letters and went on missions to the furthest reaches of the known world. We think of monumental saints. We also think of monumental saints. Saints like St. Olga, who is attributed to bringing the Christian faith into the land of the modern Ukraine and Russia after encountering the gospel in Constantinople. We hear legends of St. Patrick and how he brought the Christian faith to Ireland, how he transformed the regular into something special with special meaning and depth for Christ. And in our modern era, we watched on TV saints like Mother Teresa, an Albanian woman who ministered to the least of those in Calcutta, India. So for us, the sainthood often seems to be unattainable. With these legends, we do not hear of their struggles. In fact, we look at our sin as a barrier that keeps us from making a difference in the world in which we live. We shy away thinking that I could never write a monumental text that could point to the fullness of Christ. I could never lead an entire people to the Christian faith. I could never turn the ordinary into something that is extraordinary by the grace of God. And I could never offer the kind of healing presence that these saints achieved. I think at times we feel as if we are not anything special or that we have anything to give. I think that sometimes we feel as if we might even be beyond the love of God, that we might be beyond redemption, that we are not worthy of love or maybe even our place on this planet. I think from time to time we get to feeling this way because the world itself teaches us this. You see, you turn on the TV and you see messages that you are not good enough, or not smart enough, or not pretty enough, or not rich enough. I know I've felt that way, and I imagine that each one of you have probably felt that way too. Because this world can undermine our hope. It can do every chance that it takes every chance that it can to shut us off from the grace of God, or at least attempt to do so. But when we look to the scripture passage that we read a few moments ago, we see Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees are a group of people who have set a certain set of laws to guard the religion. They have taken a look at the Torah, or the first five books of our scripture, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and they've mapped out a series of laws that were possibly intended to protect the individual, but in fact closed the door to the faith, bringing forth a different set of circumstances. This group of Pharisees guarded the faith so closely that most people felt completely unworthy and completely unable to achieve the difficult appearance of the religion. This group of Pharisees were so devout. They prayed incredibly hard. They wore special clothing. They had special routines, and even in their worship aids, they were incredibly fancy. They acted as if the religion and that the faith was something that was only limited to themselves, again, making most Jews of Jesus' day and age feel as if they were not good enough. And I think it's to that notion that Jesus speaks out against. Jesus, throughout his ministry, was coming out to overcome that tendency where his people thought they weren't good enough. Jesus speaks out to the average person. He says, just because you do not have all of this special stuff, just because you don't have a fancy prayer shawl or a phylactery, which is a fancy armband, it doesn't mean that you can't or that you don't belong to God. Jesus was speaking out to those humble people who were there to hear him, that those who humble themselves will be exalted because they take a trust that is not of their own merit, but in their humble response to the love and the grace of God, where they are exalted by the love of God. Now, for us as United Methodists, we view our saints in a different light. We believe that all believers, that all Christians are both sinners and saints at the same time. That you and I and our loved ones who claim Christ as Savior are a part of that same title. Thus, there is a call for you and I to live with a different sense of responsibility. That here and now, you and I are called to be saints in spite of our sinfulness. You see, each one of us we have someone or we have a multitude of individuals in our lives that we might consider saints. Individuals who had brought us to the church. Individuals who have taught us the Christian faith. People who gave their time or their talents to show the love of God to each one of us. For me, a saint in my life was my youth director in my home church. His name was Adam Anthony, and he was a farmer first, a mechanic second, and a Christian always. Adam led our youth group while I was in junior high and high school, and he made an impact on my life. My life changed because of the love that Adam had for Christ and how he could not contain it, but he lived it and he would show it to our group. Adam took us to camp. He led weekly Bible studies for us, and he was present for my peers and I when we celebrated the biggest things and when we mourned our biggest failures. You see, we all have someone or a multitude of individuals who have witnessed and who have shown us the Christian faith, who have shown us the love of God and the wholeness of Christ in our midst. They were people who were real. People who were sometimes rough around the edges, but always tried to live a life that made a difference. I tell you now, if it weren't for Adam Anthony and his rough edges and the love of Christ that he shared, I would not be standing here in front of you now. When I was in college, Adam passed away. No longer being able to physically show and witness the Christian faith in a tangible way, the former students of that youth group and I are now only left with our memories. But you see, you and I, we live with a responsibility. And the responsibility that we live with is to be a witness, to show the love of God and the Christian faith in a loving and a transformative manner. Over the past few weeks, Reverend Archie has been speaking to the promises that we make. He has spoken about gifts and presence and our prayers, but there's more. You see, when we take our membership vows to join the United Methodist Church, we promise to uphold our congregation and each other with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Thus, we, you and I, need to stand in the gaps between our lives inside this church and our lives outside of these walls, when we are in the world conducting our business. We need to live our lives in such a way that the love we share makes a difference in the lives in which we encounter. That you and I have been called to be saints in spite of our sinfulness, and that we have been called to make inroads for the transformative power of God's grace. For we do not do this by our own merit. We do not do this for our own glory. We do this because someone loved us first and invested in us so that we might know the risen Christ. You see, you and I, we live with a tremendous responsibility. But we never go at it alone. When I hear those words of Jesus, I hear him saying that in spite of your sin, I believe that you who see yourselves as less than and as sinners, I see as saints. As I mentioned, today is a celebration. It is a chance to remember those who have completed their journey and who now rest from their labors. And it's a chance to recall and remember the people who have introduced you and I to the faith. even if they were a little rough around the edges. Because they made a difference in our lives because they were sinners who responded to the grace of God. For they did show us the love of God, being present with you and praying with you and investing in you and in being a witness to Christ's grace to you. Perhaps they reminded that you were special and that you're loved even when you didn't feel it. For those sinners who humbled themselves, they were truly saints, and they stand beside us, cheering us on to invest into the next generation, giving us, you and I, the encouragement by their example to being a witness in this world to the transformative love of God. So on this day, I ask that you remember your saints, the saints in your lives, that you remember perhaps their smile, perhaps it's their laugh, but more importantly, to remember the way in which they help to show you the love of God. This is a day of a time change.